Goss Island is brought to you by F&F Fashion at Tesco. Now, I love a good gawk in F&F when doing my Tesco shop at the weekend, and they've got some lovely bits in store to suit any occasion. I've recently bought some fab pieces myself and love how comfortable, stylish and versatile their clobber is, especially in the warmer weather. Whether you're hosting a Love Island party or going on holidays, with availability in over 80 stores nationwide, F&F at Tesco has you covered this summer.
Do you want a sound check?
Hello and welcome back to Goss Island. We're on our fifth episode, can you believe it? And this week's guest, we have social media sensation Damien Broderick. And he only loves being introduced like that, don't you?
Yes, doesn't make me cringe at all.
No, not at all. We're Irish. But come here, can you do your infamous kind of click clap?
Of course.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah. Can I try it?
Good.
Wasn't great, was it?
Good.
Near a bit of rhythm. Wouldn't be Irish if we had to be like that. But come here, thanks so much for coming on. It's great to have you here. And obviously a lot of people will know you. Like you've really kind of like shot to fame and grown a massive, massive following online. It's over a fairly short period of time, hasn't it been?
Yeah, so like it's really easy for me to explain because like the guys here at Goss would know me for years and years. So it took me 8 years to go from like zero to 15,000 followers. Then it took me like 8 months to go from 15,000 followers to 40,000 followers.
Yeah.
And that was me like basically giving away half of my watches and my wardrobe as giveaways to be like, please follow me on Instagram. And then it took me 90 days to go from 40,000 to 1.2 million.
90
days. I was refreshing and it was go up like 100K followers. It was insane.
Isn't it? Like, yeah, because no, in fairness, like, we're saying that kind of you shot fame over a short period of time, but like I know you for years as well, you've been plugging it away and you've been doing it really from the get-go, kind of when the kind of like influencers and bloggers kind of first started. So it's not like it might have happened overnight, but you've been plugging away for years and doing content. So.
Yeah, I suppose that's like everybody's overnight success. Do you know what I mean? Like look at Messi, didn't become the best footballer in the world without playing football every single day for years and years before people knew who he was. So yeah. Every single overnight success to some degree, someone's been plugging away at something for ages. So, but I mean, it literally was in 90 days. I went from like quote unquote a nobody to quote unquote a somebody. Still a nobody. Just people click their fingers at me in the streets now. It's a bit weird.
Yeah, do they do that?
Yeah, yeah. Someone done it out the car window this morning. They were like stopped in traffic. They're like, I was like,
that is nice. I suppose that's a nice part of it as well.
Like, yeah. Like it is a bit strange, but I suppose it's new. So I suppose I'll get used to it. I couldn't imagine what it's like to be an actual celebrity. I just get dressed on the internet. It's no big deal.
Well, people seem to love it. That's the thing.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it could be worse. I could be getting undressed on the internet. So
there's OnlyFans for that as well.
No, thank you.
Are you sure? No, I'm sure there'll be plenty that would be only happy to look at it and subscribe.
Trust me, this body has not been in the gym for a long time. It is not ready for that.
You can leave the top on. We can always do
and everything else.
We can always do a Goss Island exclusive discount as well. You can hear it for
like an AF link or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like for I'll veer away from that now quickly because we're getting dangerous waters. But what do you think was kind of like the recipe for your kind of like your such an increase in the following? Was it kind of doing those reels, the getting ready with me reels in the morning?
Yeah, I suppose on a non-technical answer would be consistency. I was uploading a reel every single day for almost 2 years. And then the technical answer would be like when I started TikTok, it took me a year to go from zero to 900K. So what it took me almost 10 years to do on Instagram, TikTok done it in less than a year. But then Instagram was really stagnant. So I was like, I can't allow Instagram to be stagnant, but I'm not going to waste time creating Instagram specific content to a platform that's not growing. So I'll just take the outfit video that I'm making and I'll just upload it to the two platforms separately. But then obviously one day Instagram or Meta looked at the market share and said, okay, we need to pull some of this back from TikTok. So what do? We change our algorithm. And the algorithm obviously looked at my platform and said, okay, this guy is doing exactly what we want creators on this platform to be doing, which is create a reel every single day. So the algorithm obviously just looked at my profile and just pushed it.
Yeah.
So I suppose there's a degree of luck there, but yeah, consistency. And then, yeah, I mean, reels are, I mean, it's the bread and butter of Instagram now. It's what the platform wants you to be doing. So if you're pumping out reels, you're going to grow.
Oh yeah. Like, as I say, like they were saying for ages there, the static posts were dead. It was all about reels. And I think the static posts kind of have come back slightly. They're kind of saying now what I'm hearing is carousels kind of like are kind of doing well in the algorithm, but it's still reels that are... But
that's just because like people are pausing on your content because they have to swipe through it. So the algorithm like will literally be able to detect how long someone has paused on your actual post. So if it's a carousel, they're swiping away. And then obviously everything is SEO based now. So if you're posting a reel and you have captions on the actual video, hashtags don't really matter too much anymore because their AI algorithm is looking at the keywords in the actual description or the caption of the post. So everything is like searchable content now. So your description and the in-video captions matter more than ever now.
Yeah.
So like I started doing the captions because I speak really low and a follower messaged me and be like, hey, I'm actually partially deaf and I have no idea what you're saying half the time. So then I start putting captions on the videos purely for an accessibility standpoint. But then obviously the algorithm was like, this is all searchable now because we can be like a gray suit. Someone Googles a gray suit, my video pops up. So I'm like, so
that's what they're saying. They're saying TikTok especially is becoming more like a search engine as opposed to a social media platform. And it's
I was on the bus the other day and there was a conversation of two girls behind me and one of them asked the other one something. She just goes, just TikTok it. And I was like, what?
Oh no.
Gen Z is like,
just like I could feel the wrinkles just grow on my head. I was like, I'm so old. But yeah, just TikTok it. I was like, interesting.
And kind of like, I suppose you could say like you've a lot in common, say, with the Love Island stars over the years. Like they come out and they kind of like go in with a relatively small following, come out and have a massive following, and it's kind of in a short space of time. And with that, there's a lot of pros with it, but there's a lot of cons as well. And I know you've spoken about trolling you've gotten before and hate online, and like how have you found that to navigate?
Yeah, like I suppose it's like everything. It's like it's just volume. If you've got 10,000 followers and you get trolled by one or two people, but then if you got 100,000 followers, those one or two become maybe 1,000.
Yeah.
If you get 1 million followers, that 1,000, you know, it grows and grows. Now, in the ratio of good versus bad is like the good far outweighs the bad.
Yeah.
Like I'm very lucky. My audience are like super engaged. They're actually really protective. Like someone will leave a bad comment and I don't even get a chance to even read it. There'll be like 10 comments underneath it of like my audience defending me or whatever. So I'm really lucky in that regard, but they obviously don't see the DMs. The DMs are where people go hard. But to me, I'm just like, whatever. Like if someone is that pressed, if someone gets that upset with the fact that I'm just putting on clothes, like that's a damn issue. Like they need to bring that to a therapist and not my comment section. Like it's no big deal to me. I'm like, I'm not doing anything. I don't speak about politics. I don't speak about religion. I don't do anything.
You're not controversial or divisive.
At all.
Yeah.
Literally, it's essentially the content is a direct documentation of what I'm wearing each day. So if someone gets that upset by clothes, I mean, you need to speak to someone professional. Because I can't help you. I can give you advice on how to dress, but other than that, that's about it. Like,
and did you find it hard at the start though? Because you seem like it's a bit of water off a duck's back now.
Yeah,
but
even at the beginning, I count myself really lucky. Like, I'm not a really insecure person. I'm very comfortable in my skin. So if people can say what they like, if someone goes to me like, "Oh, you dress like crap" or whatever, I'm like, "But do I really?" It's
very subjective.
It's very like my style is my style and I'm very comfortable in that and I enjoy dressing the way I dress and I dress for me. So if someone doesn't like it, I'm like, I'm not telling you to wear my clothes. I'm not telling anybody to dress how I dress, so that's fine. But if someone goes, you're short, you have big ears, you have psoriasis, you got a hair transplant, I'm like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm well aware, right?
I'm well aware of these things. Like, do you know what I mean? I do have to get on my tippy toes for some mirrors. It's okay. It's fine.
I don't think I'd be able for that. I think I'd have to take to the bed for a day over it if it got kind of... I probably would get used to it, but...
Yeah, there's some of it you never get used to. Like, I'm not going to speak into this microphone some of the horrendous things that get said into the DMs. Like, and people can come for me, but they come for friends, and particularly when they come for family members, I'm just like, that's where I draw the line. And some of that gets a bit heavy.
So they nearly bypass you because they think maybe, oh, it's not kind of affecting them. I'm going to go and see, can I hit the jugular with the family?
Yeah, exactly. They try find what buttons to press to provoke a reaction. But even then, I'm just like, yeah, whatever. I don't really care too much.
I suppose you've nearly had the worst thing said, you know, so.
Yeah, there's pretty much nothing that can be said to me that hasn't already been said or is worse than what's been said before. So I'm just like.
I think like, especially if something like someone was sending me a DM, a hateful DM like that, I think I would find it bad. But I think when the Islanders in the show and they're kind of like, these conversations are happening on Twitter about them kind of publicly, I think that's nearly worse sometimes where like, you can't even see it or kind of respond or be a part of it. And you're just coming out and they'll see the barrage of hate that could happen when they're in there. I think that's kind of hard. So like if you're kind of getting it as in real time, you can kind of deal with them as they go. But if you come out all of a sudden and it hits you at once.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus, like, it's my platform. So I get to dictate what gets posted, when gets posted. Like, if I don't feel it's good enough or I don't feel comfortable, confident, I'm having an off day, I can just not post. But if you're on something like Love Island, the producers get to shoot everything. They get to edit everything. They can paint you on whatever light they want. And then that's just how the public perceives you. You could be the nicest guy ever. Mm. And then you're painted in a different light on a show.
Yeah.
And then everybody has this different notion of who you are. Like, I mean, my content is pretty black and white. I mean, I probably say the guts of 20 words in 40 seconds.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like basically, let's get dressed. Trousers, short, shoes, watch. So like, I actually don't speak that often, that much in it. So people can't really take much out of context or
twist anything.
Yeah, they can't really twist much. But I mean, if you're on a show, things can be taken out of context, things can be twisted. And then obviously when you're on a dating show, like how you treat a potential significant other, that can trigger a lot of people. Mm. People might have some past trauma, things like that. And then, you know, that could store up a lot of emotion and then they project that emotion through a tweet or an Instagram post or whatever else. So although probably the amount of trolling is probably similar, but the type of trolling is probably a bit different.
Yeah, yeah. And would you go on reality TV yourself?
I actually auditioned for Love Island years and years and years ago. Yeah.
What year was that?
What year was Cam on it?
Oh, so that would have been Olivia Atwood's.
Yeah.
Olivia Atwood, Cam, Chris, yeah.
Years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, the audition process is quite funny.
What was it like?
So you do lots of phone calls. They ask you like what your ideal, you know, woman would be, so to speak. They ask you who your celebrity crushes are. They ask you like, how would you go about asking someone on a date? What is the weirdest way you've ever asked someone on a date? Like kind of questions like that.
Yeah. And did they film any of it then? And like any, did you have to go on Zoom?
So when you get to the later stages, you do like an in-person thing and then they do like screen tests and stuff to see if you're pretty enough for the TV.
Of course.
Well, that's just my assumption. It's probably part of it.
And would you go on it now?
No, I'm too old.
Well, age aside,
age aside.
Even though you're not old, I'm older than you.
I don't know. I don't think so. I'm a bit of a hopeless romantic. I'd like to meet someone not on a reality TV show.
So just on the audition, like kind of, like what kind of, like who was your ideal girl back then and has it changed now?
See, I obviously get this question all the time as well. Like it's, especially like when you're a lad and you're with your mates and they're all like, oh, well, who's your celebrity crush? What's your type? Or if you're texting a girl and they're like, oh, what's your type? I actually don't really have a type. To a degree.
Yeah.
Like, so like celebrity crushes, right? I think Taylor Swift is like beautiful. I also think Adele is beautiful. Those two women look nothing alike. I have this really weird thing with a mouth shape. Yeah. So what, like, you know, like Avril Lavigne, right? Or do you know Sophie Lloyd, who was Machine Gun Kelly's guitarist?
No.
Like you can look her up on Instagram, right? And I'm telling you, her top lip and Avril Lavigne's top lip are basically the exact same thing. And if a girl has, this is the weirdest thing ever, right? And like, I will be.
Is this a new fetish after I'm not unboxing here? Like,
I'm not even joking, right? if a girl has that mouth shape, I'm sold. I'm
like, what kind of shape is
it? It's like.
Do they have a thin enough lip?
Yeah, so it's like a slightly thinner top lip and it's like slightly wider and tins towards the thing. Towards the edges, and then when they smile, then it's like it gets even thinner, and then there's like nice teeth. And just look up Sophie Lloyd, Avril Lavigne,
smile.
Taylor Swift has a tiny, tiny bit of it. Yeah, just look that up. That's like
there'll be a lot of girls that'll be happy to hear that because, like, you know, there's a lot of Irish girls have thin lips, and a bit
and
of
then
a,
there's a lot of cosmetic places that are like, Damon, shut up. but no, like that, like I don't really have a type. Like, I mean, if you can make me laugh, if we get on, like of a of an odd sense of humor, so if our sense of humor's get on, like little things like that, I suppose.
And in what way would your sense of humor be odd?
Like people, like I wouldn't say that I'm funny, but I'd be quite witty. So someone would say something, and then I'd kind of interject, and people like, ha-ha-ha.
You'd be sharp enough, kind of like.
Oh, I don't know about sharp, like slightly less blunt or something. But like, yeah, I mean, if someone has a good sense of humor and they can take a bit of a joke and a laugh and a bit of banter and spontaneity, if someone obviously I'm very lucky to do what I do. So if I like within reason of a bit of free time. So if I say someone, oh, do you want to go do this? And they're like, okay, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, oh yeah, this is great. Because like that sense of adventure and the sense of like excitement is really cool. But I also get, like, you go to someone, hey, you want to go do this? And they're like, I have work because, like, I'm a functioning human being.
I don't just get
to post Instagrams. So I obviously have to deal with that.
And is there anyone in the island that, that would be your type on paper if you were to be in there? I know it's hard when you don't meet them in person.
Yeah. If I was in the island right now, Caddy would be the person that I would.
She have a bit of a thin upper lip as well. I think she does. I can see the pattern
she
now.
Does.
Like,
yeah.
We need the guys to put up on screen now all those top lips in row, and then we could.
Yeah.
That'd be a good game, actually, as we put out a load of top lips and see, can you guess who they are?
Avril.
Yeah, that's Avril.
Sophie Lloyd, Caddy. But yeah, Caddy's got a really nice eye shape as well.
Yeah, she kind of has cat eyes. Yeah. Yeah.
She's beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful girl.
Like, I'm gay and I do fancy her as well. Like. And look, I know there'll be many listening and I'm a nosy person. I want to know, are you single yourself?
I get this question asked, and this is no exaggeration, hundreds of times every single day.
Yeah.
Every
DMs.
Day. Yeah, the DM, like, the comment section, people would be point blank. I posted a video with my nephew the other day, and she was like, does he want an auntie? Like, they really don't care. They'll, like, I suppose it's like a nothing to lose attitude. They're like straight in. I get asked that question all the time, and I never, ever answer it.
Ever.
But I'll answer it now.
Oh, you'll answer it now, will you?
I'll answer it now, yeah.
Could we need a little drum roll now, yeah? Yeah.
So, am I single? Yes. Yes. Am I dating?
Ish. Kind of.
I suppose I'm trying. I went on one date, which is good, but then I think it was a really nice day, but I don't think it'll go anywhere. She's super busy doing what she's doing, and yeah, she's beautiful and she's a lovely girl and stuff, but she actually texted me the other day being like, yeah, I'm not being rude, I'm just flat out. And I'm like, it's fine, I get it. Yeah. It's not a big deal.
Well, that's nice. I think honesty and kind of people being upfront is
like
a good
communication
part of it.
Is a huge thing, like, especially like when you're actual grown-ups.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it just communicate and say, this is where I'm at, this is what I'm doing, this is how I'm feeling or whatever, things like that. Tinder is just a minefield. It's so bad.
Never had a go on it in relation for 11 years, so.
I envy you.
I'd be lethal on it though if I did. So we know now, right, if anyone's listening, Google those, like, thin upper lips, the kind of slightly upturn, spontaneity, adventurous, no particular type in looks, it's all about the personality as well. So.
And if you come across me on Tinder, it is actually me. It's not a catfish. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I think, there'll be a lot of girls probably getting the few mils in the top lip removed now, and they'll be flooding your DMs.
I doubt that.
I never know.
I think you're hyping me up, too.
Well, you're getting a lot of interest, so there is.
Yeah, but this is interest from people that are, like, you know, in America or in things, and they see this entity almost on the internet, and they have this, you know, idea. And then they meet me in person, like, oh, you're much shorter than I thought.
They'd be wanting you to come into the bedroom and do the click and clap before.
It, like, those, like, 70s lights that like click on and off. And it's like a strobe light every time I do this. No, it's like being single is being single. Like, I mean, I'm just kind of taken as it comes. If something happens, it happens.
Like, you don't want to, like, it'll happen when it happens, as they say.
Yeah.
Maybe after this episode, it might expedite things. Like,
oh, maybe I'm like in a coffee shop, I turn around, bump into her, and it's like, oh, it's me.
While reading a book of poetry, maybe.
The book is upside down because I don't actually read it. The busker outside is on the violin.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Everything matches up.
The barista behind gives her the coffee on the house, says that I paid for it, even though I didn't. I don't know, like, who knows?
No, yeah.
This is where my brain goes. It's like, it just goes off on tangents. Yeah.
It's a fun tangent, though. Come here, how would you deal with, right, if you're in there and you're either coupled up with a girl you like, or there's one that you're chatting to you like, and then she's robbed off you? Like, how would you kind of process that, or how would you deal with it?
I suppose it's very difficult. Like, when you're not there, you don't really experience that. But I suppose it depends on how much you like this girl. I suppose, like, I'm a pretty open, honest person. Communication is key. So I'll just pull her for a chat and be like, okay, this is where I stand. Like, if you're into me, sack him off. If you're into him, sack me off. No big deal. I'd be sitting there on the day bed with my water bottle, absolutely bulling. Do you know what I mean? I'll be trying to play it cool and we sweating bullets and me heart down palpitations and I'll be like avoiding them at all costs. I'll be like,
what would you do if she was like, Damon, I really like you and want to continue being coupled up with, but I want to keep my door open and see where this chat goes at this point.
I'd be like, Dave, if that door is open, take a walk right through it.
Oh, you'd be gone.
Yeah. If the conversation says like, oh yeah, we're coupled up and I want to stay coupled up, but I want to be open to get to meet other people, I'm like, if you want to meet new people, go meet new people. That's fine. It's not a big deal. It's not like it's a me or them sort of thing, but it's like you're either in it or you're not. You can't have your cake and eat it. And I think like, especially like a lot of the men in Love Island tend to want their cake and eat it.
Yeah.
But for me, it's just like
they're a bit emotionally stunted, aren't they? In there, the lads.
No comment.
Well, I suppose they are young. We have to like we're looking at it through a lens of early 30s, and
yeah, that's it. And the thing is, like most young men do lack in emotional intelligence, and it does take you know a bit of experience, and it does take relationships to build that because it's generally a woman that teaches you.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we witness in Love Island quite a lot. It's a lot of really young men that haven't actually had really long-term relationships. They've probably never had their heart broken. Probably never actually really loved someone and had that relationship break down for a reason X, Y, or Z. So without those experiences, how can you really
know how
to deal with those things? Or particularly like if you really fancy someone and then she's like, oh, well, I want to get to know other people, then if you're a young guy and you don't have the emotional intelligence, what that actually does is just bruises your ego. So then what happens is then
you
that provokes a reaction then, and then that reaction generally is just like, where's the next lady, where's the next woman? Zoom
Neanderthal when, kind of thinking.
Exactly, like, you know, if your ego gets bruised, then you can't kind of check it for a minute and then reevaluate and then make your next move in a bit more of a calculated way, then I mean, it's kind of a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, I think if that was me in there, I would just, yeah, that's fine, off you go. And then I just do something to make them jealous. Yeah. That's my thinking, but that's a gay man's thinking. So vicious. Like I suppose the latest drama in there for me, we're still, like, it's a while ago now, but when the shock dumping, when Katie came in and Molly was gone, none of us saw that coming. And Molly and Zachariah were the strongest couple in there. Like he barely looked at her going out the door, and it's like she never existed to him. So it's kind of like he doesn't seem to have liked her that much or that invested, I feel.
Yeah, and like I think as maybe scorned as she probably would have been, like, I mean, that's gonna be difficult to handle, to deal with. She needs to look at that like that's a bullet dodged. Because if they had spent the entire show together, potentially won it or left together at some point, it wouldn't have lasted on the outside. If that's his attitude now,
no.
Like, there's no way that would have lasted outside, especially when you come out and all this attention is on you. You're in nightclubs.
Yeah.
And everybody knows who you are. Everyone's throwing themselves at you. There's no way you're going to be like, oh yeah, I'm going to stay loyal to Molly or whatever.
And
else.
She seemed to genuinely like him as well.
Yeah. And she seems like a really like genuinely lovely girl.
Would she be your bitch? How's her upper lip? I'm sorry, I can't get past the upper lip. I'm like, I'm going to start like Googling it.
You're going to go into a rabbit hole.
That rabbit hole.
No, I don't think Molly has the upper lip that I'm looking for. But she has
it's not thin enough.
It's not thin enough. No. But she's very pretty. And
she's
a really nice person. She came across really well on the show. Obviously, I don't know her.
Yeah, but
she came across really well, like a lovely girl. So I'm sure she'll find someone lovely on the outside.
Yeah, and it's strange now. Obviously, Zach fancies Katie. She's like notorious. She's in there coupled up with her, but he's not even still fully putting all eggs in that basket. Just the tension between him and Whitney. We saw on their date the other night that I could feel the sexual tension between them and like Whitney. It's like Maddie was good for the show. He's gone now, but it's great to see Whitney kind of blossom now in a way from that. Cause I felt like that was a bit of a toxic situationship between the two of them. And now we're kind of seeing Whitney fly and become the Whitney we really want her to be.
Yeah, like to me, I think Whitney is probably the star of the show. She, I think she's got really good energy, and she's kind of, if you look back at previous shows, has generally been someone with a lot of kind of charisma that kind of draws your eye to it, like your Adam Collard, things like that. And then there's always been like a power couple. There was Jack and Danny, and then you had Davide and Ekansu, and there's always been those kind of dynamics. But I think this season kind of lacks that, and Whitney is probably carrying the show because it lacks those other elements that previous seasons have had.
Yeah.
And that's what Whitney does for me anyways. I think she carries it. Like every time she's on screen, it's like the show is instantly better for me.
Yeah, like I have to say, this is my favorite Love Island season since Maura and Greg's season. I think it's really delivering and serving. But the one kind of con I would have in it is there's not really many strong couples in there at this point, where like you have the likes of a Whitney, a Jess, friendship between the girls, even some of the lads. Mitch, I'm kind of a fan of him. I know a lot of people don't like him, but he does kind of create a bit of drama in there. It's kind of personalities that are driving it, as opposed to
power couples.
Power couples.
Mm. But Casa could change that.
Oh yeah, Casa will always change that. And like, what's going to be happening the next week with Casa now, it's just going to be phenomenal. But one thing is like, I think Tyreek and Ella, I think they are the only probably good, strong couple at the minute. And they're kind of closed off now. Mm. Tyreek has finally shut his door. I don't think he's locked it, but the door is shut.
The padlock is left open, slightly wobbling in the
wind. Yeah, a good strong breeze would probably open it, but it's closed. So I think they're like now the kind of front runner couple, as well as they were coupled up from the start. They're still there together. They actually have, they're reminiscent of kind of like Tasha and Andrew and those couples that have, you know, the kind of like a rocky start and kind of like ups and downs, but they still always go back to each other.
I don't think anybody will ever have a rockier road to a relationship than those two.
No, no, they won't. And they're still strong, still going together.
Still going like, strong. He might have licked her tit or whatever.
Yeah, or whatever. That line, it's just
iconic.
So I think like if Ella and Tyreek can get through Casa unscathed, or not even unscathed, but if something happens but they can come back together, I think they're the front runners. Unless someone like Whitney can get coupled up with someone strong, I can see her winning it. Or maybe Jess has the potential. It's just Sammy. I don't know how genuine Sammy is.
Yeah, agreed. I think if Sammy gets a better haircut and stays out of the kitchen, I think he's golden. Yeah,
the hair is kind of like...
The hair is a bit Lego movie-esque.
It kind of reminds me of like a Victoria woman that we like kind of the housekeeper of Downton Abbey, that kind of like Victorian tight wave. It's when it's kind of messy, it's fine. But that, I don't know, it's just he's going for something and he gets it sometimes and it doesn't land other times.
Yeah. And if he stays out of the kitchen, the pasta mash
thing.
How
was that lump?
Whatever that was, okay, look, I think that is like disrespectful to every Italian that has ever lived on this planet to put the word pasta in whatever that was. And then it's disrespectful to every Irish person that's ever been on this planet to call it mash.
It's disrespectful to any human being in general that eats.
Like they just pick it up on the fork and it's like, no way. No. I'd have went to bed. I'd have just down the drink and just went to bed.
Come here, what do you think the crack is with Scott and Catherine? Like we have to talk about our Irish representation in there. Like I love Catherine. I think she's a very good character. She's not being shown as much because I suppose her and Scott as a couple, they're getting on. There's no drama, but...
Yeah. I think that's probably one of the issues with the show is that when you're not causing a bit of drama, you almost like kind of, not fall by the wayside, but you kind of blend into the background a little bit. Sometimes that can work in your favor. You can almost kind of like fly under the radar and go really far in the show, but then sometimes people get really bored of you. And then when there's a public vote, you tend to get dumped.
Yeah.
I also think anytime there's an Irish contestant on the show, more kind of set the bar extremely high. Yeah. So there's always this kind of comparison to be like, we need a Maura. And I mean, Maura is probably one of the greatest characters to ever be on Love Island.
Ever.
So it's a very difficult comparison for someone to live up to. I don't know what size shoe is Maura, but they're big shoes to fill anyway.
Is that another... Tin lip and short
side. tin lips and big feet. No, the shoe size is irrelevant. Trust me.
I'm just reaching now.
As long as they're nice shoes.
Fair enough.
I don't have a foot thing, just to clarify.
A shoe thing.
I think as well with Irish people, like no matter how good or bad or indifferent they are, we're always just rooting for the homegrown. Yeah. Always. We'll always kind of back our own.
Because I think with Scott and Catherine, I personally feel like they get on. He obviously has been living in Ireland. She's Irish, so he's probably drawn to her there. She was single at the time, so
he knew that would be the easy bet. But like, I still, they seem to get on well, and there is a bit of a...
There seems to be an actual connection, chemistry and, yeah. and connection there. Whether they can grow that. And obviously we don't know what's going on off screen.
Mm.
But hopefully they can grow it. I think they look great together as well. I think they're a very aesthetically good yeah. looking couple. So yeah, I would like to see that kind of blossom a bit more. I would like to see them tested, because I think that would really show how much they potentially like each other.
But I think now, because it seems to be Tyreek and Sammy especially, they've been their bonnet over Scott in general, and they say that he's kind of pretending a bit with Catherine. So either they're seeing something we're not seeing, or they just don't like Scott personally. But yeah. I think now with Casa, I think Scott will be trying to probably prove his relationship with Catherine. So I can see him coming back solo, unless there's someone that like really just
blows him out of the
blows
water.
Blows him out of the water there. So yeah. like, I think the lad's kind of feeling towards Scott might propel that relationship. Whether it lasts on the outside, who knows? Mm. But
yeah, he might almost like, out of defiance,
yeah,
like make it work. Which I hope that's not the case. I hope he makes it work, because he genuinely yeah, likes yeah, yeah. it. But then, I mean, there's always the side of the game playing. So if one couple sees themselves as like, well, we're the strong couple here, and then there's this other couple, then if we can kind of drive a wedge there, if we can create
oh, that's
this kind
true,
of thing,
actually, yeah.
They might be able to kind of stir a bit of drama, put a bit of doubt into the other Islanders' minds, and then a bit of doubt into the public's minds. Then when a recoupling happens or there's a dumping, then one couple then outlasts the other couple. Because if there's only two couples in the entire villa, if you can manage to break that one up, then you're a front runner on your own. So
that's probably what Sammy and Tyreek maybe are up to. Because they probably would be the strongest couples at the minute, and they're probably trying to...
There's probably potential there to drive a wedge there.
Mm.
You probably have their eye on that big prize at the end.
Yeah.
Which is a long way off.
Can we talk about Mitch actually for a minute? I'm a fan of Mitch. A lot of people don't.
I couldn't tell.
You like a thin lip, I like a Mitch. but I was laughing. I just think he's a bit tapped. Like, you can see even his Crocs were floating in the pool yesterday. And he as they say in Love Island, he moves mad. And he gets caught out kind of stirring the pot a bit. But then he always just apologizes and takes it. He never fights back. He's a funny character. I can't.
Yeah, I almost like that personality quirk where like, all right, I'll make snowballs for other people to throw, but then when I get blamed on, I'm like, yeah, okay, I done it, no big deal. I almost am I allowed to swear? I almost fuck with that. That's my type of person, because like I could see a friendship with him, because I know if he does something and I call him out on it, he's gonna be like, yeah, okay, I done that, I'm sorry.
Mm.
And then that'd be it, it'd be squashed. There's none of this like, no, I didn't, no gaslighting, no bullshit. And I kind of like that. That's a really strong personality trait that not a lot of men have, actually. A lot of men try to brush under the carpet, try to skirt around, boys will be boys sort of bullshit. And I love the fact that he kind of is unapologetic about stirring the pot, but then also unapologetic
but then
while being apologetic. Yeah, he's like unapologetically apologetic.
Like the other night, I don't know, was it Zach pulled him nearly aside three times because things kept coming out of what he was saying to Katie and things like that. And he was just like, yeah, yeah. But I think then finally Katie said, he said something. He's like, no, I actually didn't say that. And because he's honest about it, like, you kind of have to take his word on it there as well.
But then there could be a case of like, you know, like Pirates of the Caribbean where like Jack Sparrow tells the truth, like to a degree that we don't know if it's the truth or not. Maybe that's going on.
Probably is.
Maybe he's just like, you know, flooding you with honesty. And then you don't know if it's honest at all.
Mm. Jeez, you could be onto a few things here now. You're like a Love Island psychologist.
Damien Broderick, MD.
Dr. Damien Broderick. Well, that sounds good, I think. Katie McDermott came in, bombshell. She was a fiery character from back in the day. Mm. Mad moment with the dumping with Molly. So that straight away, like, even if she did nothing else, she did what she needed to do for the show. And she's kind of been a bit reserved or boring up until a point the other night where Whitney and Scott or Zach were going on the date, and she started getting a bit head up over it then.
Mm.
My feeling is it's not for her feelings towards Zach. It's more for the ego thing where she was
I agree.
Yeah.
Because how can you be upset over someone who talks like a roadman? I mean, let's be real.
Yeah.
Again, like, they're a very aesthetic couple, Katie and Zach, but I don't see that lasting at all. Like if they met in a nightclub, they might have sex one time and never speak to each other again.
And it probably wouldn't even be good
and
sex.
And probably, yeah. Like she's definitely not finishing.
A lot of elbows banging. And that's not what you want banging.
Yeah. No.
But the rumors are as well that she's not really actually broken up with her ex.
Ooh.
So that's why she like, did you see in the kissing challenge, she barely shifted anyone bar Zach, and she's been kind of hesitant and pulled back. So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The streets are talking.
In Zach's accent.
Yeah. I even heard the other night Whitney was starting to talk about the streets are talking as well. So like that's probably going to catch on. But that's yeah,
like what was the one before? It is what it is.
It is what it is. It is what it isn't. Yeah, I love that one. Yeah, or like one year Everton was dog eat dog.
Yeah, I love that. How every season has its little phrase, though.
Yeah. So there has to be one major one. Hopefully now it's
the streets are talking.
Like yeah, I'm gonna run with that anyway.
You're
with
that can be the hashtag for this episode. The streets are talking.
So kind of, what are your predictions for say the next few weeks? I know it's really hard because like everything can change so much, but
that's probably like the beauty and the nature of Love Island is that it's, although like we've watched season after season after season and you can kind of understand the format, but it's so unpredictable. The producers are really good at throwing curveballs in and really messing things up, you know, unexpected dumpings or bombshells. I think as you said, I think if Casa will be the catalyst. It always is. If you come out with Casa strong, you have a really strong chance of going far in the competition. I think, as you said, if Whitney finds someone strong in Casa, that's a game changer. If she can stay in the villa with whoever she finds, and I hope the person that she finds in Casa, I really hope that he's not latching on just to get into the villa. I hope it's an actual genuine thing because I really like her and I think she deserves that.
Oh, big time,
And I think if that happens for her, I can't see anybody else winning the show.
I think you're right. I think forerunners will be Jess, Whitney, whoever they're coupled up with. I think obviously Jess will probably, whatever happens with her and Sammy, Sammy's kind of nearly holding her back. But the fact that they've had something for a while, she probably needs to keep him there still. And she'll probably like, he'll drag her back a bit, but she'll go. But if Whitney can get someone compatible... Yeah. And as she's, what I really like what she said during the week was, I like to have someone that I can be me, you can be you. We don't have to merge and become one. We can be separate, but be together separate. Not kind of phrasing it exactly how she did it, but it was a really nice way of looking at it. Yeah, like a coalition. Yeah. Like, sure, like a lot of couples just merge and become one, where like you can still be your separate entities, but be separate together.
Yeah, nobody wants Kourtney Kardashian syndrome.
No, not at all.
No, where you just essentially become your partner. I think Brad Pitt does that as well, doesn't he?
Or Angelina Jolie or both of them,
they just kind of mold into whoever they're dating.
Yeah, like we all have those friends that like they get with someone and then they're only interested now with that their partner's interested. They hang around with that, do you know, and they're kind of like psychologist corner here, isn't
it?
Like,
right?
Yeah.
God.
There could be something in this. Yes, like, do you want to chat afterwards? Have I eaten enough upper lip?
You do.
Come here.
I'm raging. I said that now.
You're not at all. One final note as well. Not long enough, the press, a few days now, but Davide and Ekansu are no more.
And friends of the Goss team as well.
Yeah, big supporters of Goss as well.
Yeah, and I was lucky enough to meet the two of them at the Gossies just gone, and they just seemed so lovely and so in love. I was really shocked when it was called a day, and shocked. It was almost like just the story that Davide posted. It was almost like, we're not together anymore. I was just like, oh, okay.
I feel like it was a bit more one-sided. She was a bit more into it than maybe he was. And I feel like he probably was like, I'll drag this out as long as I can so it doesn't seem like it was forced. But who knows? Who knows what goes on behind closed doors?
Kind of makes me sad. I was rooting for them.
Yeah, I love, which are like, they made last year's show, like, so.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
But then again, maybe she was an actress and a lawyer.
Yeah, a liar.
Who knows? Who knows?
Thanks so much for coming on. You've been a great guest and it's great to get your insights and just like you generally as well. And like, it's obviously Casa week now this week. So episode 6 next week, we'll probably have to do an extended edition. It's just going to be drama, drama, drama. Mm-hmm. So can't wait for that. All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, pleasure,
for listening, everyone.
Goss Island is brought to you by F&F Fashion at Tesco. Now, I love a good gawk in F&F when doing my Tesco shop at the weekend. And they've got some lovely bits in store to suit any occasion. I've recently bought some fab pieces myself and love how comfortable, stylish and versatile their clobber is, especially in the warmer weather. Whether you're hosting a Love Island party or going on holidays, with availability in over 80 stores nationwide, F&F at Tesco has you covered this summer.